disclaimer. The following broadcast gives a true and honest account of the events described, and all evidence and details herein are solely factual. What you are about to hear is real and may disturb you. Caution is strongly advised. Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
If you find our show interesting and you'd like to support us, please consider heading over to patreon.com/deadsouls and donating to our research and investigations. If Instagram is more your thing, you can find us there by searching Dead Souls Podcast and we'll come up. As always, thank you for joining us. This is Armageddon, the events that will cause the end of the world. So, Happy New Year. I wanted to touch on this subject, as I think it's in a bizarre way the most fitting subject for a New Year's episode. Yes, I'm fully aware I'm a little late with the whole New Year thing. Apologies. I was doom-scrolling Twitter in the gap between Christmas and New Year's Day. You know, the time when no one really knows what to do with themselves? Well, I noted that a lot of people were posting their hopes, wishes, and resolutions for 2023. This had a domino effect in my mind, and I was reminded of Nostradamus and his quatrains. Michel de Nostradam, or Nostradamus as he more commonly known in the Latinized vernacular, was a French physician and astrologer who lived in the 16th century in southern France. Lots of you may be familiar with him. He famously wrote a book in 1555 called Les Prophéties, which was a collection of some 942 poems which featured and foretold future events. Sure, he could see into the future, right? Seems totally ridiculous. Well, that is until you read the poems, or quatrains as they are called in French. Then you'll realize that some 500 to 600 years prior, Nostradamus predicted things such as the Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, both Hitler and Napoleon's rise and falls, the First and Second World Wars, the creation and use of the nuclear bomb on Japan in 1945, the Apollo moon landing, 9/11, and the death of Diana, Princess of Wales. These predictions are, to name but a small few, of what he wrote. It's at this point that most people sit up and take notice of his stunning accuracy. You'll also hear that Nostradamus professed the end of the world in 2012, although this is a common error, and he never in fact wrote or said this. In fact, 2012 was attributed to the Mayan calendar, and not actually a prediction of the end of the world. He indeed predicted events up to and including the year 3797, and it's only at that point where human consciousness will come to an end, according to Michel de Nostradam. Of course, Nostradamus has his detractors. He always has, even in his own time. But the fact that his book has never been out of print in the 500 years since his death, I think speaks volumes for the existence of his supporters, and indeed, for his hitting the nail on the head, so to speak. He knew JFK would be assassinated in November 1963. He knew the Challenger space shuttle would explode, killing everyone on board. Hell, he even predicted that Queen Elizabeth II would die in September of 2022. Fun fact regarding his prediction is that upon the accession of King Charles III to the British throne, the new king would rule for less than 1 year, before he abdicates following a huge royal outrage and series of scandals. Who is his successor? The boy who never thought he would be king, Henry Charles Albert David, Prince Harry. Given the current news cycle involving the royals, that's certainly a dramatic series of predictions. We shall see how this plays out by the end of the year. Those were not Nostradamus' only predictions for 2023, however. If you thought the last years were shit, then buckle up, as the year ahead doesn't sound so great either. The French seer predicted for this year an existing war which would expand into a great European and world conflict. A space exploration catastrophe involving Mars, a worsening of the cost of living and inflation crisis leading to many people starving and indeed turning to cannibalism in some parts of the world who have never witnessed that behavior before in their lands. Sounds like a fun time, right? Although it's certainly worrying that much of these predictions are already starting to play out. I'm not here to talk about Nostradamus, though, God rest his soul. Whether you believe in his skills to see the future or not, often when claims of clairvoyance are made, one of the most common questions is, when will be the end of the world and how will it happen? We are a gloomy bunch after all. Well, to a certain extent, we don't really need a prophetic future seer to know how the world will end. Good old science can lend that information to us. In fact, studying human behavior, as well as geographic date, climate changes, and planetary and seismic information can give us a fairly confident set of examples as to how things might go awry for the human race. In 2018, scientists at the University of Nottingham in England created what they called a close-to-midnight list of the very likely and very near global end catastrophes that humans will face, or humans do face. These catastrophes are all here. By the way, before I get inundated with messages and emails, I'm just sharing scientific information. I have no political agenda here whatsoever. I literally don't have the energy for 2023 politics. Let's kick things off with asteroids, the people's favorite, so to speak. Although not to be taken lightly, you may have heard about the impact that killed off a lot of living things around 65 million years ago. The asteroid hit into the water just off Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula and formed what we call today the Chicxulub Crater. And subsequently, the event destroyed around about 75% of all species on Earth at the time. Yep, that's the one they say ended the dinosaurs. Researchers theorized that the asteroid flew down to Earth traveling in the region of 45,000 miles per hour. The flash impact ignited Mexico on fire in less than a second and made a crater that was around 62 miles wide. The estimated power of the impact created a force of around 921 billion times that of the atomic bomb that the United States dropped on Hiroshima at the end of the Second World War. This immediately set off a series of catastrophic and cataclysmic events, including a mega tsunami around 330 feet high, which hammered into the US coast. The impact would have also set off massive wildfires, significant volcanic eruptions, and mega earthquakes. Across the entire globe, there would have been suffocating levels of dust in the sky, so thick it would have blacked out the sun and smothered all oxygen on Earth. That dense black cloud would have hung around for over a decade, choking all life, and very little organic life could even survive. In addition to that, regular and heavy acid rain would pour down on the continents, completing the swipe of the Reaper's scythe, the definition of a world-ending mass extinction event. So could that happen again? Of course, why not? It's not as if we have any control over what happens in space. In fact, we remain in just as vulnerable a place on Earth now as it was then. In fact, there is absolutely no reason why there couldn't be another mass extinction event on the same level as that one 65 million years ago. Nothing. Given enough time, statistically, it will certainly happen. We've been hit by a lot of asteroids over more recent years, although many of them haven't caused much catastrophic damage on that scale. But take, for instance, the impact that hit Arizona around 50,000 years ago, forming the Beringer Crater in its wake. This particular rock might have only produced enough power to kill plant life and wildlife in the vicinity of the impact area, since it might have only produced the blast force of one single nuclear bomb. You know, that's all. In the grand scheme of things, this might not sound so bad, but it's something like this happening in a densely populated area like, say, New York City, that would certainly be a bad day for the population. Furthermore, the Qingyang event in China in 1490, which records show may have killed around 10,000 people, well, this was likely a meteorite shower since those records describe many falling stones raining from the sky, We haven't had too many impact events in modern times, though, thankfully, except one that you were likely aware of. In 1908, the Tunguska event in Siberia destroyed an 850-square-mile area of forest and some 80 million trees. This impact produced the power of around 12 megatons of TNT, which is around 1,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Fortunately, the area of the impact zone was sparsely populated, so the explosion just wiped out forest land, tundra, and marshland. There were quite a few eyewitnesses, though. One of those witnesses, pardon my pronunciation of this, Chuchun of the Shangir tribe, described the event like this. "We started crying out, father, mother, brother, but no one answered. There was noise behind the hut. We could hear trees falling down. And I got out of our sleeping bags and wanted to run out. But then the thunder struck. There was the first thunder. The earth began to move and rock. The wind hit our hut and knocked it over. My body was pushed down by sticks, but my head was in the clear. Then I saw there were many trees falling. The branches were on fire. It became mighty bright. How can I say this? As if there was a second sun. My eyes were hurting. They were burning. Had the asteroid hit a major city, and believe me for sure, it's only a matter of cosmic luck that it didn't, it could have killed many, many millions of people. According to the fine folks over at NASA, to create massive damage, you need an asteroid that was just 1 kilometer in diameter or larger. The one that wrecked the Tunguska Siberian forest was only around 66 feet wide. Over the many millions of years that the Earth has been around, it's been hit by many asteroids that make a 1 kilometer rock look like a pea next to a basketball. The good news is that according to, again, NASA, there is nothing in our galactic neighborhood or near space right now of that size. So there's nothing that looks like it could impact Earth anytime soon. And yes, we do look to be sure. The space agency added, as best we can tell, no large object is likely to strike Earth anytime in the next several hundred years. Whilst that is a relief to hear, you should also take into account the law of averages and past events, and also accept that space objects can change trajectory for a multitude of reasons. Scientists have published papers stating that Earth is hit by such a life-ending piece of rock every 60 million years or so. That could mean we are due for another substantial impact, in cosmic terms, within the next 20 to 50,000 years. So yes, that seems like a while off just yet, at least statistically. But it's worth knowing that in 2019 an asteroid the size of a football pitch came within 40,000 miles of Earth, which is incredibly close in space terms. And NASA did actually admit that the rock did sneak up on us completely undetected. For clarity, if something like that asteroid did hit Earth, it would have had the potential to destroy a city the size of New York and its surrounding suburbs. In terms of your hierarchy of worries, you can probably put asteroid impact to the bottom of the pile for now, though. End of the world analysts like Peter Berezon of the Canadian Research Institute, BCA, are fairly certain that space rock isn't a major top 5 world-ending concern of theirs. So, next on our world shit list is something we are all more than familiar with. Global pandemic. This one is probably not what you want to hear, given you've just spent the last 2 years mainlining the pandemic into your conscience. But thanks to the ever-vigilant, click-hungry media, never in your wildest dreams did you think the recent virus was going to end the world or anything even close to it, right? Well, there have been some pretty frightening pandemics in our recent history. You've almost certainly all heard about the Spanish flu that ravaged parts of the world between 1918 and 1920. It wasn't even Spanish at all. Spanish media first and most extensively reported the virus, as they were a neutral country during the First World War, and thus their media wasn't censored for bad news, like many other nations who were involved in the war at that time. Hence the name Spanish flu. The reality is that the Spanish flu killed somewhere in the region of 50 million people. So not world-ending, but significantly more than the somewhere in the region of 6.8 million COVID deaths that we recently experienced. You also, of course, have the historic plagues, which was certainly no walk in the park for humanity either. Between the years of 1346 to 1353, the aptly named Black Death killed between 75 and 200 million people across Europe, Asia, and Africa. Again, not the end of the world, but when the total world population at the time was only around 400 million, this accounted for nearly half of everyone on Earth. Pretty scary. The plague was darn efficient at population reduction, that's for sure. That was about as bad as it gets when it comes to historic killer viruses. But the question is, could anything close to it, or even worse, ever happen again? If you've been reading the news over the last 2 years, you'll know that many stories have started with the words, "Experts warn." Ah crap, not another "experts warn" story, you might be thinking. Well, in 2019, the Guardian newspaper reported this. "Experts warn the world is grossly underprepared for future pandemics." They were right. The article described that in the event that a virulent flu pandemic happens, within a matter of just 36 hours, people would start dropping dead, and no one would know initially where the virus had come from. It causes mayhem, riots would ensue, banks close, the power grid goes down, etc. 28 days later, there are barely a significant population left. The Guardian continued that such a scenario is entirely plausible, and efforts made by governments to prepare for any such pandemic are grossly insufficient. Something we are all now certain of. Many educated theorists think that another pandemic of catastrophic proportions is a possibility. In 2017, the ever-reliable harbinger of doom and tech giant Bill Gates said that although a virus might just wipe out 30 million people, but he also talked about the big ones, which he said were in the pipeline and very, very likely, statistically. Humans, governments, nations, societies, we would all need to start to prepare better for such events, if survival was a required option, of course. You might be wondering, how real are these doomsday scenarios and how urgent a threat are they likely to be? So, bearing in mind that a deadly global pandemic is currently an actual thing, you shouldn't be mistaken that another even worse deadly pandemic will not occur in the very near future. The World Health Organization talks about Disease X, which is a hypothetical, very deadly, unknown pathogen that strikes us down. It might come from an animal, but it also could be man-made, like COVID. Oops, sorry. Was that too controversial? Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about something that us humans do as naturally as breathing air and might destroy the Earth long before we even finish this episode. War. We really can't talk about the end of the world and leave out war now, can we? Back in the day when Attila the Hun's armies were embracing their violent side, you could kill many people during the campaigns, but battles like that were never going to pose a threat to mankind. Then we modern folks came around and someone got the bright idea to create bombs that could potentially end the world in just a few seconds. The United States has around 5,428 stockpiled nuclear weapons, and with over 3,500 of those deployed and live. That's the second biggest live arsenal behind Russia's whopping 5,977 stockpile. And if you paid any attention to the media, Russia and America aren't exactly the best of friends at the moment. Then you have China. They have around 350 nuclear weapons and are actively increasing this to around 1,500. The United Kingdom has around 225 active nuclear weapons. France, Israel, India and Pakistan each have between 100 and 200 weapons themselves. And finally, let's not forget, the most stable nation on Earth, North Korea, who have around 20 nuclear weapons. It all makes for a rather terrifying mix of high risk. Wouldn't you say? These countries aren't at war, yet. And you could be accused of scaremongering by talking about war, but we don't know how things will evolve down the line. In fact, the current situation in Ukraine could turn catastrophic very fast. But we'll come to that later. There's also the fear that as such weapons become more technologically advanced, they might even become hackable. According to a scientist writing for the BBC, even if every single nuclear bomb was fired and hit a target, it would not destroy the Earth or humanity entirely with the blast radius. That's pretty good to know. However, still, almost 15,000 nuclear warheads of varying killing power would make a dent in the human population for sure, potentially killing up to a billion people within the first hour of the blast. Then you have the radiation sickness, which would finish off many millions more. Throw into the equation that not all nukes are of the same power either. For example, Russia has the most devastating nuclear warhead in the world's arsenal today. The Tsar Bomber, a 58-megaton weapon of mass destruction. The weapon, which was tested in 1961, produced a mushroom cloud some 68 kilometers high, which is higher than the plane which dropped the bomb. It shattered windows around 500 miles away, and its blast wave circled the globe three times. The bomb would kill everything within 60 kilometers of ground zero and cause significant damage up to 100 kilometers away. Luckily, Russia only has one of these weapons, although one is more than enough. Fun fact, it's actually developing a further two given the current crisis in Ukraine. A nuclear war, where every weapon in each country's disposal was used, could be almost world-ending through a process known as mutually assured destruction. Using a theoretical scenario, some scientists have said that the detonation of all nuclear weapons could create such a mess that people would not be able to survive in the aftermath. Slowly they'd get hungry, sick, and die. There would be raging fires in cities, and the soot in the sky would black out the sun for up to a decade, which would in turn cause a nuclear winter. One scientist, Alan Roebuck, who analysed the temperature drop of a nuclear winter, said that this could easily end life on Earth. For context, the nuclear bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of the Second World War were pretty weak compared to modern devices, don't forget. In 1979, the Office of Technology Assessment in the United States estimated the damage that would be caused if the United States and Russia fired all their weapons at each other. The analysis showed that up to 77% of all people in the continental United States would perish, and around 40% of all the people in Russia would also die. The differential is due to geography. That was an analysis with bombs from around 45 years ago, however. So this war could likely be the end of all mankind as we know it. And let's face it, man is a destructive, resource-sucking, polluting, killing, warmongering parasite of a species. Let's just hope those weapons never become hackable and more countries don't join the WMD club. Now, we need to talk about artificial intelligence, a world-ender in every sense. Many of you will have heard the name Nick Bostrom. He's an expert on artificial intelligence, and he's been outspoken for a long time regarding the existential threat that it poses. Like Space Karen, Elon Musk, he believes that a kind of super-intelligent AI could wreck the world in a similar fashion to how it was done in the Terminator movie franchise. On his own website, he talks about the various world-ending scenarios, including one in which everything in the world that we know it is just a simulation, a la The Matrix. What happens when, for some reason, whoever programs that simulation decides they're done with it and shuts it down? Sounds very Hollywood and far-fetched, right? But there are growing numbers of scientists out there who are providing data and theories to support the simulation theory in hypothesis. And folks, mathematical equations tell us that if it were a reality for us, that we would not likely be the base reality. In fact, it's extremely unlikely, mathematically speaking. As for AI, he says we might program it badly, that it leads to utter destruction. In his own words, he says, when we create the first super-intelligent entity, We might make a mistake and give it goals that lead to annihilating humankind, assuming its enormous intellectual advantage gives it the power to do so. As an example, Bostrom asked, what if this intelligence was given a mathematical problem, but that problem was so difficult it had to turn all the matter in the solar system into a giant calculating device, and by doing so, kill us all? Those are Bostrom's thoughts. But other scientists have said, what if we told this AI to create a program to ensure the future safety of our planet? But then the AI decides that the only way to do that is to get rid of us humans. A likely outcome to such a wide open question. After all, the planet would be much more healthy if mankind didn't exist on it. Shit Bruce Wayne wannabe Elon Musk has similar worries, saying that we might accidentally create what he called an AI immortal dictator. He said, at least when there's an evil dictator, that humans will eventually die, but for AI, there would be no death. It would live forever. Thus you'd have an immortal dictator from which we can never escape. This superintelligence might just decide that we humans are not needed down here. Why would it do that? We don't know, but if it does, we won't have a chance. Musk explained it like this. It's just like if we're building a road and an anthill just happens to be in the way. We don't hate ants, they're just insignificant to us and our needs. We're just building a road, so goodbye anthill. The main concern about AI centers around what some people call an intelligence explosion, meaning that we create some AI that is able to improve itself and so becomes way more powerful than we expected it to in a short period of time. A self-learning machine. It's almost like we're children playing around with a bomb. We have little idea when the detonation will occur, though if we hold the device to our ear, we can hear a faint ticking sound. Those words come from Donald Trump. Take them how you will. Trump, Musk, and Bill Gates all believe that even though right now the AI we create couldn't cause much damage, the super-fast explosion is possible and getting closer. An AI would certainly be linked to the internet, likely programmed to continuously learn, eventually surpassing the knowledge of humans. At some point, it will become self-aware, making the AI sentient. And when that happens, what if the now sentient AI feels threatened by humans? After all, we created it. We are likely to not want it to get more powerful or knowledgeable than us. So we might decide we want to pull the plug or curb its advancement, thus threatening the AI's existence, making it take measures to overrule us or prevent us from controlling it. We would become enemies. Once that happens, what the AI might want could very well be different from what humans want. Bostrom explained that the AI's goals might be incompatible with human survival. Not because the AI is evil, it's a computer, it doesn't have feelings. But the AI wouldn't consider human feelings either. It, as a computer, would aim to reach its goals in the most efficient way it possibly can, regardless of what gets in its way. This is why we have to be so careful about programming the intelligence. A lot of scientists scoff at such doomsday scenario, and they say we have many other bigger issues to contend with. But some of those issues might be eradicating viruses or solving environmental problems. These are the very reason why we create and further develop computer programs that can do that and support our work. As of the recording of this episode in February 2023, AI is already at the point where it's almost impossible to differentiate it from humans in terms of speech, conversation, literature, and choice. And we're getting better and better at it, inching us closer to self-aware artificial intelligence. Bostrom believes that we will succeed in developing superintelligent computers sometime around the middle of the century. And if that becomes the reality, we might solve those aforementioned problems, but the Pandora's box we've opened might just end us in the process too. Maybe you're thinking, okay, simple, just turn the thing off when it gets too big for its boots. Bostrom had this to add. Any free Roman super intelligent agents would presumably be able to anticipate that humans might attempt to switch it off. And if it didn't want that to happen, it would take precautions to guard against that eventuality. Presumably, much like a computer virus, once it is released onto a network like the internet, it would become almost impossible to foil. The renowned physicist Stephen Hawking stood behind what Bostrom had to say. Hawking agrees that soon AI could very well help us to end disease and poverty, enticing outcomes that mean we will charge into it with free and assuming will. But he also said the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Hawking continued, "We cannot quite know what will happen if a machine exceeds our own intelligence, so we can't know if we'll be infinitely helped by it or ignored by it and sidelined or worse, conceivably destroyed by it." Food for thought. Next up on the how we are all going to die list. Human-developed biological weapons. Genetically engineered biological agents, for example. Many experts also see this as a threat, as if naturally occurring pathogens were already scary enough. What if someone let loose a man-made virus? This is sometimes called a lone wolf scenario, something that Hollywood has been making tons of money out of for decades. Bostrom explained, with the fabulous advances in genetic technology currently taking place, it may become possible for a tyrant, terrorist, or lunatic to create a doomsday virus, an organism that combines long latency with high virulence and mortality. He also said that there's a possibility that we could create a world-ending virus by accident. For scenario, some Australian researchers who were trying to come up with a contraceptive virus from mice to better deal with them as pests, they accidentally made a modified mousepox virus. It had a mortality rate of 100%, meaning that all mice that caught it died. Thankfully, that virus was not transmittable to humans in its existing format. But imagine if one day scientists were doing something to save the smallpox virus and accidentally created a monster of a virus with 100% mortality rate. Then imagine if it escaped the lab, as smallpox has done in the past. Humans will always research viruses because we want to better understand them and ensure that we can control outbreaks in the future. That's why some people call biotechnology both a blessing and a curse. But there are accidents, and there are also governments and organizations that might want to create a bioweapon with pure destructive aims. Is that likely? Well, put it this way. Every weapon of mass destruction that humans have conceived, they have followed through and made. Not one weapon have humans thought, no, that's just too risky or dangerous. The Future for Life Institute wrote about this very scenario. Developed nations and even impoverished ones have the resources and know-how to produce biological weapons. For example, in North Korea, intelligence has revealed that the authoritarian government there have assembled an arsenal containing anthrax, botulism, hemorrhagic fever, black plague, smallpox, typhoid, and yellow fever ready in case of attack. It says the cost of developing such weapons has reduced significantly in the last decade or so, and it's now conceivable that the technology could fall into the wrong hands. It has become easier to manufacture strands of DNA, with the Future for Life Institute saying it could become possible for someone to print deadly proteins or cells, at home even. In an article published on the Stanford University website, a headline read, "Biological Warfare and Emerging Threats in the 21st Century." Stephen Bloch, a professor of biological sciences and applied physics at Stanford, said he is certainly scared of the wrong kinds of people getting their hands on something as terrifying as the smallpox virus, for example, and then letting that loose on the greater population. Bloch said, "We attempted to say nobody in their right mind would ever use such things, but not everybody is in their right mind. And we are already aware, through British and American intelligence sources, of a number of regimes who are developing and stockpiling these very weapons." He talked about his greatest fear, which is these regimes developing their own kinds of super viruses, something unseen in nature. This is sometimes called black technology, and means the use of genetic engineering to make viruses even more virulent. And that's just viruses. The genetic engineering of fungus can be even more deadly. Aspergillus cryptococcus, Amanita viriosa, Candida auris, and Mucormycetes, to name just a small few, are already deadly in high mortality levels and resilient to many fungi-treating drugs. Weaponized spores of these or other deadly fungus could circle the globe in just a few days. If such bad people can get their hands on the genetic maps of pathogens, Bloch says, they might be able to create an extremely virulent strain of a virus or mutated superspores of fungus with genetic editing tools. Perhaps they can make something that renders our vaccines and treatments utterly useless. This could, simply put, end the world very quickly. It's a long shot, but it is certainly a cause for concern. In fact, statistically, it's more likely than nuclear war, as accidents in this area are more common and safety measures are far lower. If someone could create a super transmittable version of something like smallpox, or Ebola, or Ophiocordyceps unilateralis, and somehow release it into populations, the outcome would be catastrophic. The virus with the highest fatality rate currently is the rabies virus. The World Health Organization says once clinical symptoms appear, rabies is virtually 100% fatal. Thankfully, it's not as if anyone could control the minds of rabid dogs and create a global rabid dog army. But a regular virus could be bad enough if manipulated with new tools. Humans have invented something called CRISPR-Cas9 technology, which enables geneticists to edit parts of the genome. In the wrong hands, could a flu virus be created that mankind could not overcome? The answer is very plausible. We know through growing evidence and intelligence that the current COVID-19 pandemic was likely the result of a lab leak. Just look at the destruction it has cost almost every nation on Earth. Now imagine if something worse was created, something that was deliberately released, or worse, weaponized. Testifying in front of Congress, Alan Schaffer, the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment, said that science is revealing the means to weaponize biology and chemistry in ways that were purely theoretical only 10 years ago. And as we continue to move forward, it's becoming increasingly apparent that creativity is our only limit, not science. The technology is there, and again, we are playing with the devil. The final threat on my humanity-destroying list of likely Armageddon causes is nanotechnology. After some in-depth research, the Future Humanity Institute came to the conclusion that human extinction was 19% likely by the year 2100. Ahead of war and AI and viruses, there was something called molecular nanotechnology weapons. Yes, these are a thing. Nanotechnology is the understanding and construction of things at the molecular level. Nano comes from a Greek word meaning dwarf. So nanotechnology literally means the tech of very, very small. Just to make this clear, when we talk about nanotechnology, we're referring to something smaller than 100 nanometers. In just 1 inch, there are 25.5 million nanometers. This technology is the next big thing. It's next generation technology that will improve medicine, aerospace, energy, transportation, how we construct buildings, electronic devices, cars, and planes. It will make the products you use stronger and last longer. Nanotechnology will replace our entire manufacturing base with a new, radically more precise, radically less expensive, and radically more flexible way of making products. It is the future, but it also has the potential to do very, very bad things. Scientists tell us that when we can manipulate the molecular machinery of life, we are at risk of creating a catastrophe. Researchers working with nanotechnology have warned us that the technology, while brilliant at creating benign applications, might also be used to make weapons of mass destruction that the world has never seen or comprehended before. Like with artificial intelligence, when we see breakthroughs in nanotechnology, we are all well aware that we are playing with fire. By using molecular manufacturing methods, we will almost undoubtedly create nanotech weaponry that could lead to an arms race. Yes, that sounds pessimistic, but you have to remember that we humans never ignore good technology's potential to do great harm to other humans. To put an image of mankind out there for you, we are the invading aliens from the movie Independence Day, but on our own planet. Even if we don't want to do harm, we will create the weapons just because we think other countries will do just that. We are really good at paranoia. It's how our media works. No, it's what our media relies upon. The creation of these new weapons is inevitable, and that's why so many scientists are now saying that they are a major risk in terms of the end of the world. While you haven't been paying attention, governments of the world have been thinking about such weapons. You've likely never heard of the theoretical mini-nuclear bomb that could weigh just a few pounds and could have the destructive capacity of any large-scale nuclear weapon we've seen before. A handheld nuke would be very bad news. Enough of these things could potentially annihilate us all, and while we haven't made such weapons yet, do you think that once we have the know-how, our great governments will avoid such ideas? China, Russia, and the United States are all already investing billions of dollars into such technology. When a US physicist and futurist was interviewed by CNBC about this technology, he offered this dark reply. Nanobots are the real concern about wiping out humanity, because they can easily be undetectable weapons of mass destruction. If it's not bad enough that governments want to exploit this tech for the common bad, there's also the risk that terrorists and tyrants might get hold of the nanotechnology too. Governments aren't careful. There is no secrecy. That same physicist also pointed out that such weapons could act like insects. You could be going about your daily business. You could go into a grocery store and you feel this prick or itch on your arm, and the next thing you know, you're frothing at the mouth. Such tech could certainly come in handy if you want to take out a president, for example. If it all sounds a little bit too Black Mirror for you, know that the United States Army Research Laboratory has already created tiny drones that look like insects. Just imagine what you could do with one of those if it was carrying poison or biological agents. Imagine if thousands of them were released into a community. A physicist called them the most horrific near-term nanoweapons, whilst researchers at Cambridge University announced in a conference back in 2008 that these things pose one of the biggest threats in human history and could fight a path to the complete destruction of every man, woman, and child. Those researchers said there was a 5% chance that even a nanotechnology accident could kill a million people effortlessly. Statistically, there is a 10% chance that 1 billion people could die from nanotech weapons. Those in the know, those in the science community, are very concerned about what humans might create using this molecular engineering. Just imagine, we have created some tiny insects that do great things such as fly in mass to try and fix a sinking ship. Maybe we get so far in the development that these things are so small and so skilled, they can also go inside your body and stop internal bleeding, or even prevent cancer cells from replicating, or carry out brain surgery on parts of the brain we can't reach without damage to life. This is the future, and it could be an amazing place. But the dream of nanobots making the world a better place has a corresponding nightmare. For everything there is a balance. That is, we lose control of them. There's a massive oil spill, so we utilize nanobots to go and break down all those harmful hydrocarbons. But those nanobots are highly advanced, so they can self-replicate, and like an unending swarm, they not only eat the hydrocarbons, but they feast on pretty much anything in our natural world. That would be impossible to combat. This is called the grey goo scenario. With the swarm of nanobots being the goo, they are so small, a large cluster of them would appear in your hand as a kind of grey goo. This is not the X-Files. This is where we are. Just imagine they could devour everything in their path, and humans are unable to stop them since they replicate so fast. Humans could be devoured in the melee. If you could somehow program to do the devouring, you could use the technology as a weapon of mass destruction. This dystopian tale is so far one of science fiction, and many scientists will tell you that such a thing should never be allowed to happen. But we are on the cusp of developing this technology. The work has already started. We are many, many, many years into its creation and development. When we start messing with nanoparticles, we are walking into an extremely high-risk area, an unknown future. That's why governments are already thinking about the ethics of nanotechnology and why nanomachines are taken very seriously. Even if you don't accept a future where tiny machines are used as weapons of mass destruction, do you think for a second that governments and regimes won't use this technology to spy on you? Complete control. They'd also be pretty good at breaking up crowds of protesters, right? You can't fight what you can't see, and what you don't even know is there. There's been plenty of food for thought in this episode, much to be fearful and paranoid about. Any one of the world-ending scenarios I've talked about is likely in our lifetime, not to mention several of those scenarios combined. Hello, AI-controlled nanobots, for example. I haven't even talked about natural disasters like supervolcanoes or an extraterrestrial threat. But rest easy, sleep well in the knowledge, because what if I told you that the end of the world has already begun? That the apocalypse of human life as we know it is already in motion and we are blind to it playing out. I'm not talking climate change, secret societies, or overpopulation, but what I am talking about is very real and happening right now, and there is nothing you can do to stop it. In Armageddon Episode 2, I will reveal all. The doomsday clock is ticking. See you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. Visit deathcult.com for more information on how you can help us and support our broadcasts. There you can also find links to our socials, Patreon, and episodes. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.